Let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Job, chapter 1. You're walking through some stormy time in your life. Maybe you've just discovered from the doctor you have some medical condition that you didn't realize. Or maybe nobody knows it, but your finances are almost at an end. You don't know what to do. You don't know which way to go. And your life is just really a virtual storm. Or maybe nobody knows but the God of heaven, and you're in a marriage relationship. And in your marriage relationship, you don't know what to do. Nobody knows but you and God the difficulties that you and your spouse have been having, and you're just really in a storm. You're in a storm because you don't know all the windy things that's happening in your life. You don't really comprehend why it's happening to you. And maybe just like some recent storms that we've experienced in and around this area, and if you've seen the aftermath, you've seen the devastation. There's just really sometimes in life that you can't understand some of the storms you're facing. We've been looking at the storms of life and been sharing with you that they are coming. And last week we dealt with how to build your life well for the times of storms. But this morning we're going to look at what God expects of you when you're in the storm. If you'll take your Bible and turn to the book of Job, if there was ever a one that faced storms in life, it was Job. I don't believe there's a one of us here, but what you've turned to the book of Job or turned to the Psalms in some stormy time in your life, because here's what you know. If there is a man in the Bible that understands storms, it was Job. He knew what it was to lose absolutely everything in his life, with the exception of his wife and three friends that just literally made life difficult for him. He knew what it was like to lose things quickly when he couldn't understand what was going on. And when you read Job, you find that exact reality. You find a man who is doing his best to follow God, and all of a sudden, one day, life blew up right in his face. Maybe that's where you are right now. You're serving God the best you know how, and you'd be willing to say this: I'm serving God. I'm doing my best to serve God. I'm doing my best to walk right with God, and my life seems to be blowing up right in front of my face. Well, I want you to listen carefully, and I want you to listen prayerfully, and I pray the Holy Spirit would speak to your spirit, because there's something the Father wants you to listen to in this message as we look at this one passage of Scripture in Job. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, that was a man perfect and upright, one that feared God and hated evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, and every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job went and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in all the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and hates evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he has on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he has, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he has is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord, and there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. The Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven, has burned up the sheep, the servants, and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose and rent his mantle, shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshiped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all of this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. There is no way you can listen to that one chapter, read that one chapter, without realizing there can be and there is a day that comes in our lives when we don't understand. There are those things that happen in your life and mine that you, to be honest, from the very recesses of your spirit, you really can't figure out what in the world is going on. And yet, whenever we face those times in life, there's something you need to understand. Number one, God is always in control. I don't know if you got it, and I'm just going to mention this and then get into the principles, but have you ever thought about sometimes God is talking behind your back? Do you realize that God and Satan had a conversation behind the back of Job? In other words, God was saying to Job, to Satan was saying to God, here is one man, you've blessed him, yes. You have given him so many things, but I can tell you this, you put your hand up on him and you take away everything he has and he'll curse you to your face. In other words, Satan was saying, here is someone that's serving you for what he can get out of it. And you know the truth about it is, that's exactly what Satan says. And the sad part about it is, there are some people that are in churches all over the land this morning that they're serving God for what they can get out of God. In other words, God, if I go to church, if I give you myself, if I give you my life, then you'll bring some good things into my life, right? Because they want the good things from God. But here's what God was able to say about Job. Here is a man on the earth that is living, that is breathing, that is functioning in his day and time, and there is not one reason that he's worshiping me other than the fact that he is worshiping me. He has a pure heart within him, and God said, all right, you do what you want, except on his body, don't you touch him, and then all hell broke loose. You heard what happened and what Satan did and how Satan touched everything that he had. And by the way, that's something you need to understand when it comes to the storms of life. The Bible says that we live in a world whereby the devil is the prince and the power of the air. And so the Bible says that all of a sudden the Sabians came, all of a sudden things were lost, all of a sudden the winds blew and beat upon the house of the family and they were dead. And yet in all of that, Job didn't sin or charge God foolishly. And we have to be honest with ourselves when it comes to the storms in life. We honestly don't understand some of them that come. But here is the facts. Whenever you're in a storm, God has never changed. God cannot change. God will never change. Now, don't ever try to evaluate God from the middle of your storm. Don't try to understand God right in the middle of your crisis, right in the middle of your storm, because you'll have some terrible misunderstandings. But I want to share with you this morning what God expects of us when we face our storms in life, because yours are going to come. All of ours are going to come. Some of you are in one right where you're sitting. And so when you look at the life of Job and you see what went on, and you can say with Job, I identify, I've lost, and some of you, you've lost family, you've lost finances, you've lost relationships that you didn't want to lose, but they're gone nonetheless, and you're in that difficult time. I want to share with you some of the things God expects of you and me whenever we're in the storm, because some of these you're probably going to be surprised. You're probably going to think, well, I didn't think God was that way, that he was going to expect that of me. Well, listen, he is God, and he knows you perfectly. He knows me perfectly. Nothing is ever going to catch God off guard. Well, number one, if there's one thing God expects of us in the storm, he expects us to grieve. Whenever you look at the life of Job, one of the realities in this first chapter, the Bible says that Job didn't sin or charge God foolishly, but the Bible says that Job rent his mantle. In that day and time and in that culture, that was a signifying reality of grief in his heart. I don't know about you, but I just have an idea in my mind that he just dropped to the ground. In other words, when he heard one messenger after another messenger after another messenger after another messenger, and it just came bombarding at his life. Listen, there is nothing wrong in our life with grieving and hurting. Sometimes you'll hear somebody come along in life, they say, well, you know what, now you just need to straighten up. God's going to take care of it. And sometimes you just like to tell that person who says that, there's the door, would you please leave? I don't need to hear that in this time. Because God has created us, and he knows that we don't understand, and he knows our emotional channels. You know, you lose a relationship, somebody that you've loved, or you lose somebody through death, or you lose somebody through some type of crisis ordeal, and you just don't understand. And one of the expectations of God in your life and in my life, he anticipates us to grieve. He expects us to hurt. Just yesterday, Charlotte and I was driving down the interstate and driving back 25, and we just was seeing and looking and praying for those that were hit by the tornado. And I just couldn't help but look at one particular house and wonder who it was that lived there. And it was ripped, and another house was just completely gone. And they trying to make sense of all this. And listen, sometimes in the storms, you can't make sense of anything. You just can't understand anything. For 38 long chapters in Job, God is silent. In other words, those chapters span a period of time. And there's times in your life, in my life, some storm has come, and it's as though God is completely silent. You pray, you ask God something, and God, what is going on in my life? Why is this happening to my life? You say, God, would you come to my rescue? And there is complete silence. Listen carefully. Even when there is the silence of God, he is never still. There may be times in your life and you're going through a storm and you're going through, maybe you're in one right now, but here's the reality. You know, God expects you and me to grieve, because here's what the Bible says. Listen carefully. We have not a high priest, Hebrews 4:15 says, which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. You know what the Bible says? We have the Lord Jesus Christ, who when you get hit with the storms in life, he is hit with the storms. Listen, when something happens to your children, don't you hurt? You better believe it. When something happens to my daughter, I hurt. And now when something happens to my son-in-law, I hurt. You know, because you start getting connected and you start, you know, son-in-laws become sons and daughter-in-laws become daughters after a period of time. And those of you who have many of them, you know what I'm talking about. But here's the reality. God wants you to understand this. You're not going through a crisis by accident, and you're not going through a crisis or a storm alone. The Bible makes it very clear, you cannot go through a storm all by yourself. It is easier to breathe without lungs than it is to go through a storm without the presence of God. Why? Because he has promised you, and he's promised me this, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. Now here's something, either God is lying, and all the rest of the Bible is lies, or he's telling me the truth, and I can take it to the bank when I'm in the storm. It doesn't matter, come what may. And you see, you know, some of the grieving, and we don't understand, but he expects us to grieve. You know, he expects us to hurt. And, you know, when you think about Job, here he is. He's sort of dazed. He's sort of confused. He's sort of bewildered. He's serving God. He's doing everything right. Now, listen to me very carefully. You may be doing everything right, and you say, here's my storm. Why is it here? You may never know until eternity why your storm is there. He may let you know on this earth. There may be some storms that you don't know until eternity. Some of you have faced some storms and that you just can't understand, but you just say, well, I'm just going to leave that to God. And that's right. But not only does he expect us to grieve, second of all, God expects us to misunderstand. Listen, you know, whenever Job was minding his own business, he was praying to God, he was offering sacrifice to God for the sins of his son. Think about it a moment. It doesn't seem logical. You go to church Sunday morning, you're faithful, you come Sunday morning, Sunday night, you come to Sunday school, you come Wednesday evening Bible study, prayer meeting, you come faithfully to a revival meeting, you come faithfully and you walk devotedly to God. And you say, well, why does God allow this storm in my life? Remember this. It was God that was talking to Satan about his servant Job. Behind Job's back, Job didn't know about it until God revealed it to him. Can God talk to Satan about you behind your back and you be a person of integrity? It is amazing how integrity dwindles in the storms. Listen, you read all through Job, and I'm reading through the book of Job now, and it is amazing what his friends tell him. Now, Job, you know you're lying to God. Is one of the things. You know you've done something wrong. You know you've committed an act of wickedness. You know you've said something you ought not to have said. You know that there is some reason, Job, for all of these problems in your life. And that's sometimes the way we have people come into our life. They may not come into our life, but they talk about behind our back. You know, I wonder what he did to get that. I wonder what happened in his life for him to lose, you know, for that to happen. I wonder what happened because they're having a financial crisis. You know what? Sometimes it's absolutely nothing you're doing. And sometimes it is a sign of integrity. Here is Job, and God says to Satan, all right, touch him. I'm going to put Job on display right now through suffering. Can God put you on display? Sometimes we suffer a little bit and we're gone for a long time. We'll leave church. We won't read the Bible. We won't talk to anybody in church. You put us through a little bit of suffering, and it's amazing how many people cave in. It's amazing what we do in our time of suffering. You know, I mean it is. You know, sometimes, you know, we have a hangnail and we can't go to church for 6 weeks. I mean, seriously, something happened in our life. Somebody say something bad about us. What about the storms? What are you going to do when you really have a storm? And you see, the thing about it is, God expects us to misunderstand. Don't you think for a moment God is up in heaven saying, I just wish they'd get it correct. I just wish they'd... No. He knows you're not going to understand. He knows that I'm not going to understand. Listen carefully to what the Bible says. In Psalms 103, verse 14, he knows our frame. He remembers that we are what? Say it again. Dust. D-U-S-T. You and I are dust. In other words, God created us, gave us life. He knows we don't understand. And he knows there's going to be a lot of misunderstandings and there's going to be a lot of things in our life. Listen, the fact that Job asked questions was a sign that he misunderstood. And you're going to misunderstand. Don't you think for one moment that God is up in heaven getting real miffed at you in your storm because you don't understand what's going on, because you can't figure it out, that God somehow is upset. It grieves my heart when I hear some preachers say that. That says, well, you know, you ought not ask God any questions. You show me that in the Bible. You're going to find in the book of Job, probably more than any place in the Bible, a man who asked God some hard questions because here's what Job knew. I have been given the privilege to talk to my God and he will listen to me. And you see, in the life of Job, he misunderstood and he was hurting. But, you know, And he was serious. He wanted some answers. God, why do young people die at such an early age? Why does a godly person lose everything they've got? Why? There's a lot of questions. And you think about it, you know, one of the things that God expects us to do, he expects us to ask questions. Listen to what the Bible says. You know, why am I, you know, there's so many people who say, you know, why am I going through this storm? Why is this happening to me? Why are all these things? Listen to what Job said. Job said, why didn't I die from the womb? Why did I not die when I came from my mother? Why did knees receive me, or why was I given life? Why is a man allowed to be born if God's only going to give him a hopeless life and uselessness and frustration? Why did the midwife let me live? Why is light and life given to those who are in misery and bitterness? Why didn't you let me born dead, God? Have you ever agonized in your life? I mean, you're in a crisis. You say, God, why have you allowed this to happen to my life? Now, won't you listen to me real carefully? If God is not the sovereign of the world and understands you perfectly, then all the questions would bother him. But listen, there is not a question you can ask God that catches him off target, that catches him off balance. You can never shock the heart of God. Think about this a minute. If he already knows the totality of our lives, he has already seen all the storms we'll face in our lives. Amen? In other words, you walk through them, but he's already seen them. Has he already seen how you're going to respond? Yes, because of his absolute perfect knowledge. What can you do to shock him? What can you say to the living God in your crisis to shock the Lord God? And you see, he expects you to ask questions. There have been times in every one of our lives we've asked questions, and sometimes I'll have somebody come up to me and say, you know, Pastor, is it all right to ask God? I'm going through some hard, can I ask God some questions? How are you going to get answers unless you ask questions? Now, you have to be reminded, God is God. He may answer you, and you may not be able to contain the answer. But there is absolutely nothing scripturally wrong with asking God some questions about what's going on in your life. Maybe you've got somebody that's abandoned you in life. Lord, why did they abandon me? What did I do so bad that they abandoned me? What is it that's happened in my life? And you see, the truth about it is, when Job was walking through his crisis for a number of chapters, and then his friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, they said, well, let me tell you, let me give you some godly counsel, Job. And finally, he turns to them and he said, every one of you are sorry comforters. I mean, that's what he said. You're sorry help to me. I need somebody that will give me some kindness and care and tenderness. And they didn't. And Job's wife really was kind to him. Oh, she was a precious woman. Here was her loving consideration to Job. Honey, I don't know if he had a life insurance policy, but she said, why don't you just curse God and die? Now listen to me real carefully. You can handle a lot of storms, but when the spouse that God's given you turns around against you, there is no storm like that. And Job just simply said, you talk like the foolish women. I came into this world without anything, and I'll go out without anything. And though the skin worms devour this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Because here's what Job said. Job had been given some wonderful insights. He said, I know my Redeemer lives, and I know someday he's going to stand on the earth. I know that. And you see, there's a lot of questions you have the right to ask, and I have the right to ask. And then fourthly, not only does God want us to understand that we have the right to ask questions, but here's what he expects of you. He expects you to learn how temporary things are. Now, I want you to listen to all that Job had for a moment. I want you to listen to all that he'd accumulated. Number one, he was the richest man in the East. So that means he had plenty of property. You've got to have plenty of property if you're going to have 7,000 sheep, if you're going to have 3,000 camels, if you're going to have 500 team of oxen, if you're going to have 500 female donkeys, if you're going to have servants, if you're going to have children. Listen, when Job watched everything go, here's something. God brought Job back to square one and reminded him of it all over again. And it was this, Job, you know all that I have given you? Every bit of it can be gone like that. Listen carefully, friend. There is one expectation that God has of you and me in our storms. If it's a tornado that rips a house apart, and I listened to an interview of a precious mother just the other day, and she said she only had time to do one thing, and her name was Sherry. I won't give her last name. But she said, I threw a blanket over my kids, and I got over my kids, and she said they were saved. She said, I knew that something was wrong with me. She had one leg cut off below the knee, another one, her ankle, and she said, I knew I was dying. And she said, I made a video for my husband, told him that I loved him. And one of her neighbors come over, and she told him, she said, I'm dying. He said, Sherry, not on my watch, you're not. He took his belt off, made a tourniquet. They got her out of there in an SUV, and they flew her, took her to Louisville. And she tells her story. But an 8,000 square foot house that showed the picture of, vanished, gone. And here's the reality, friend. Tornadoes, earthquakes, storms, here's what they tell you and remind you of the acid truth that we don't want to think about. Things are temporary. I want you to say that with me. Things are temporary. Say that one more time. Things are temporary. You know why I ask you to say that? Because sometimes the devil paints an image on our mind. Man, I've got this. I've got that. I've got so much. And all of a sudden, one, and it's gone. Job found all of the oxen, all that he had, all of his servants, it was gone. And one of the realities when it comes to our storms in life, God expects you to go back to square one that you know and you knew when you was just a child and learn this basic reality. The Lord giveth and the Lord has the power to take away. And the thing about it is, he is the sovereign God. You say, well, he has no right to take it away. Well, he didn't have to give it to you in the first place. Now listen, don't judge God in the middle of the storms because you'll draw some horrible conclusions. But you see, you know, one of the things the devil wants you and me to do, he wants us to think, well, you know what? I've got stuff and my stuff is going to last forever. And it is amazing how quick your soul gets attached to stuff. You remember the man, the rich man in New Testament. He said, I'm going to take my ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. He said, I've said to my soul, you've got many goods laid up in store. And the Lord says, thou fool, for tonight thy soul will be required of you. What if your soul was required of you tonight? What would happen if your soul was required of you tonight? Where would you spend eternity? You've got money in the bank. You've got possessions. You've got everything. But if God required of you your soul, where will you go tonight? You don't know that you're going to live today. You don't know what's going to happen in today's time. And God wants you to realize in the storm how temporary stuff is. But you see, here's something. I never heard anybody interviewed that said, you know what? The tornado came and I lost my salvation. The tornado came and I don't have my relationship with God anymore. It blew it away. The tornado came and I don't have a home in heaven anymore. Listen, let the winds blow. Let everything come. David said, if the world blows up, I will not be afraid. Why? Because I have the living, sovereign, holy God and he lives on the inside of my being. Amen. And listen, nothing that God has given you can ever be taken away. Listen, your relationship with the living God, someday you're going to walk out of this life into eternity. I love what I heard one person say. Wouldn't it be good just to love to be walking and the Lord just take you home? Your body fall over and your spirit just walk on. I thought, wouldn't it be wonderful to be preaching one Sunday morning? Well, or Sunday night, and the Lord just take me on. I wouldn't want to scare any of you, but now you know if that happens, you know where I'll be. You take care of the rest, but I'll be on wait for you. But listen. Everything's temporary. And the devil wants to paint the picture that, man, get everything you can. And storms are God's design to show you it can evaporate quickly. And that's what God wants you and me to understand. Not only that, but fifth, God expects us to review his faithfulness in our storm. Now, let me ask you a question. Has God ever left you? In other words, has God said, because of this storm, I'm going to walk away from your life and you don't have me to depend upon? Never. It doesn't happen and it can't happen. Listen. Listen to what Job said. When Job was in the middle of his storm and the high tides of misery and heartache were beating at his heart, listen to what he says. Naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, did Job understand his dilemma? No. But was Job going to curse God? Listen, storms don't alter the faithfulness of God. No storm affects the faithfulness of Holy God. The sun came up this morning. It's going to come up in the morning. It's going to come up next morning. It's going to come up the morning after that. You know why? Because God gives you and me signs of his faithfulness. And you see the reality of it is, it was God that blessed him. And when you're in a storm, here's what God wants you to do. Go back and remember. Go back and remember all that you didn't have before you had a relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you realize how some of you used to live in panic before you were saved? Some of you scared to death, some of you not knowing, but now you have Jesus Christ living on the inside of your life, and you're not meaning you don't aren't concerned, but you know you have Christ. Listen, if this world blows up, if a tornado comes through the next 30 minutes and it takes all of us, I pray that every one of us will be with the Lord. Why? There ought to be in you and me that spirit of confidence in the living God. You know why? Because you're not designed for a time. You're designed for eternity. You're going to live forever. And you see, one of the things that God expects of you and me is to review his faithfulness. Now, here's what happens to some Christians, some people in their storm. They get mad at God. They get upset. And you can tell, I don't know what God's up to. And you know what it really says more than anything? It says they don't have much of a depth about their life. You see, if Job didn't have much of a depth about his life, he would have cursed God. And a person who don't have much depth about their life, they'll curse God, blame God for everything. Here's the problem. We don't blame God for every good thing that comes into our life, do we? I did it. Man, I have arrived. Look what I built. No, you didn't build anything. Let God touch your body, take away your energy. Let him take away your cell structure. Let him take away your DNA composition. Let him take away the muscles from your body, and you'd fall over. And you see, Job looked back and he worshiped. I don't know how he fell on the ground, but the Bible says he just fell and he worshiped. Job, can you worship God in crisis? Yes. Worshiping doesn't mean you understand. Worshiping doesn't mean you like all the things that's going on in your life. Worshiping doesn't mean you know all the answers. Worshiping means that, Lord God, I know up above this storm, there is a God that's in control of the universe. I know up above all that I see and all the black right around me, there's a God who loves me. Listen, God is an unchanging God. Amen? How can God change in your storm? God cannot change one iota in your storm or your storm or your storm. We draw wrong conclusions, wrong notions, but God remains the same. And Job was going to find that out. Can you retain your integrity and God not honor your life? Nope. You see, some of you are going through storms and you think, will there be an end to this storm? You know, there are some old sayings that have been around for hundreds of years, and I really believe that some of them have been around for hundreds of years because there's a degree of truth in them. You know what? There's a saying, it's always the darkest right before the dawn. Now listen carefully. Some of you, it's about ready to dawn on your life. You're saying, oh, I pray to God, you're right. Well, look at the last principle. Let me show you. Here's what you need to expect. God expects us to watch him come through for us. You know, when you read Job, here is something that is interestingly absent. For 38 chapters, God is quiet. You find Eliphaz, Bildad, Zophar, and Job interacting with one another. But when you get to chapter 38, God has watched and he's seen, he's listened and he's heard, and God begins to speak. And in chapter 38, God just says some things to Job. And, you know, it was God who said to Job, "Where was you when I laid the foundations of the earth?" It was God that said to Job, "Do you know the dimensions of the world? Was you there when I laid the foundation and the boundaries of the oceans? Was you there when I established all the boundaries of the sea? Was you there when I clothed the clouds?" And it was God that said, you know, "Job, was you there when I commanded the morning and I commanded it to be night? Was you there when I established the earth?" And you see, in 6 days, God created everything that was. And God said, the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, "Job, where was you at the foundation of the world?" Now, listen real carefully. When you want to question God, let me ask you this question. And you need to ask, where was I when God created this world? Where was I when he set the foundations of the earth? Where was I when he set the clouds in motion? Where was I when he set the structure of the galaxies? Where was I? And you see, all of a sudden you start realizing, I don't know a whole lot, God. And you see, there is one wonderful verse I want you to look at in your copy of the scripture. I want you to turn to Job chapter 42, verse 10. Job has lost everything, but in one verse, God gives a declaration to Job. And I want to read it out of the Living Bible because it says it so powerfully. "Then when Job prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his wealth and happiness. In fact, the Lord gave him twice as much as he had before." Job, for 41 chapters, which is an expression of time frame, he didn't understand. But here's what God knew. "I gave Satan some permission over your life." That may be what's happening in your life. God is giving Satan a little permission over your life. But then, at the very end, you retain your integrity, you retain your faithfulness, you get on your knees before God, and God says, "Stop. That's enough." And he puts Satan in his place by the word of his power. God don't need any marshaling army to put Satan in his place. He don't need 10,000 angels to put Satan in his place. By the word of his mouth, he has power. When God says, "Let there be," twice Job's possessions, there is twice. And you see, here's what God did for Job, and here's what he expects of every one of us. You retain your integrity in your storm. You get on your knees, you cry to God, and you ask his help and ask his guidance. But here's what God expects. He expects you to watch him show up. You say, "Pastor, what do you mean show up?" You're in a financial crisis. Let me just use this for an example. You stay faithful to God. You stay faithful in obedience to him and worshiping him, honoring him. You stay faithful in giving what he's told you to give. You say, "Well, I don't have it to give." You leave that between you and the Lord, and you let him come through. And what you can expect in the end, you expect him to show up. Never will forget the story of someone who shared this, and he said, man asked me to borrow a large sum of money from me. I won't give you the amount. But he said he never paid it back, and it was a large sum, quite a large sum. He said, "I really, really thought about taking him to court to get the money back. And every time I'd think about that, he said, I just didn't have a peace in my heart. And he said, I needed that money. I let him borrow it because he said he was going to repay me with maybe a little bit of interest. But anyway, he was a good friend. And he said, by the help of the Lord, I didn't go to court. I didn't sue him. And he said, I just waited and I watched. And he said, honest to God, and he was sharing this in a test, he said, God bless my business in ways that I can't humanly, honestly comprehend. God gave me back more than what I ever let that man borrow because I was faithful to him. Listen to me very carefully. If God isn't God who he says he is, then we're believing in vain. And if what I've shared with you is not accurate according to the word of God, then I have been a liar. But listen, the integrity of God will always come through. And in your storm, you can take it to the bank, because here's the reality. The God of Scripture can not ever change. He's the same God to me as he was to Job, that servant of God, thousands of years ago. How can that be? I don't understand, but here's what I know the Lord says. He says, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. What are you doing in your storms? Maybe you're about ready to call it quits. Maybe you're about ready to throw in the towel. But I can promise you this, you stay faithful and God will honor your life. That's his word. Friend, there's a storm. You're here this morning that he can't rescue you from. And I want to tell you the one storm he can't rescue you from. He can't rescue you from the eternal storm of not placing your faith in Jesus Christ. When you breathe in and breathe out and take one breath, that's a reminder you have life and you're alive on this earth. But you walk to the end of your earthly life in disbelief of Jesus Christ, what he did at the cross, you close your eyes in death, you will experience a storm among storms among storms, and it will never end. Because you will die, and you will be in, and you will live forever, separated from God in a, yes, real, literal hell. God's given you life and given you opportunity. But the Bible says the souls of millions have been there and are there and are staying there. If you're here without Christ, what a wonderful day to give your life to him. And Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for your truth. And Father, we just pray this morning for that person who's without Jesus Christ. Lord, they can pray a simple sinner's prayer, even right now with their head bowed, and they can be saved. Lord, if they just simply pray the prayers your Holy Spirit is working in their heart, I know I'm a sinner. I know that I'd die without Christ. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save me. Father, if they prayed that simple prayer, they could be saved right where they're sitting. Father, have your will and your way and your invitation and the invitation of the hearts and lives of men this morning. Draw men to you through salvation is our prayer. In Jesus we pray.